Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on iHeart, on Radio MD, and any place you downloaded from. Thanks very much for downloading it. We have a wonderful guest at a subject that's really close to my heart. It is Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, who's our guest, Dave Nassani. I probably mispronounced that. This is podcast number 908B, and it's to talk about probably the most underappreciated group in America, caregivers. Turns out that 1/3, or 30% actually to be more specific, of caregivers die before the person they're caring for, largely due to the stress of caregiving. And that's probably why this is such a successful website and person. It is caregiverdave.com for the website. Dave, thanks very much for joining us. Let me ask you a couple of things to start with. You initially say there are three major mistakes caregivers make. So give us a little background on caregivers and then talk about those three mistakes.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on, by the way. And I tell everybody, I've been on 26 morning shows all across the country just sharing how to prevent your loved one's illness or disease from actually killing you. So I did. I came up with three huge mistakes that caregivers make. And if they can do this, they can stay alive and they can stay out of the hospital. And the first biggest mistake is caregivers don't know how to put their needs first. Okay, so when you go on the airlines, what do they tell you? In the event of an emergency, an oxygen mask will fall. Put your mask on first before you help your loved one with their mask. I mean, hello, what an amazing metaphor for all of life. Take care of you first, not out of selfishness, but out of survival. I mean, can you imagine the plane going down and your bundle of joy is screaming and gasping for breath? I mean, I'm the caregiver's caregiver, and even I don't know if I could put my mask on first while I'm watching my loved one gasp for breath. But the airlines know that if you don't do that, you're going to burn out, you're going to black out, and you're both going to be in trouble. The second biggest mistake the caregivers make is they don't know how to ask for help. Now, everyone has a cell phone, right? Use it. Turn it on. Punch in the number. Hello, Mom. I need help. Grandma's driving me crazy. Call your brother. Call your sister. Call your wife's ex-husband. Call anybody. But get over that silly notion that if you can't do it all by yourself, that you're a failure as a caregiver. That attitude will kill you. I just recently almost cut off my finger because I was using a skill saw, and I know how to use a skill saw. But I didn't want to ask for help for whatever reason for the other guy to hold the piece of wood that I was cutting, and it got away from me. Now, if I'm the caregiver's caregiver, and even I have trouble asking for help, right, I don't want to be indebted to people. I don't want to bother them. But mostly, I guess it's because we as caregivers feel like, you know, if I can't do it all by myself, I'm somehow a failure. So get over that. Third biggest mistake caregivers make, they just let people pile guilt on them like they were stacking pancakes. I mean, there was a show back in the 70s about a caregiver who was caring for his elderly father. And he was in the junk business, and it was called Sanford and Son. And you remember, Fred Sanford was notorious for guilting his son Lamont into doing all sorts of cockamamie harebrained schemes. And it went something like this. Oh, it's a big one. No, son, really, it's a big one. Elizabeth, I'm coming to get you, honey. And Lamont would fall for that con every single time.
We should comment that Elizabeth had passed on before Fred, and the big one was the big heart attack because he had a heart condition.
And caregivers are the same way. You know, they just allow guilt to eat them alive, and that kind of guilt will kill you. I mean, it's like being handcuffed to your loved one for the rest of your life, a life sentence. So get over that guilt. Don't let people guilt you, because they're always going to tell you you're not good enough, you're not doing enough, and it just doesn't work.
Now, you got into this subject, and by the way, I think those three comments, and again, the website is
caregiverdave.com.
Caregiverdave.com. And Dave is known as the caregiver's caregiver. But Dave got into this because of his wife's sudden condition. Before we get to that, just to mention the three, if you will, mistakes, again, are not taking care of yourself. So right. We always say you've got to stay in good health so that you can take care of the ones you love.
Yeah.
Two is not asking for help, and I may have gotten them in the wrong order.
No, that's right.
And
the third one is the guilt.
And the third one is don't be, swayed by guilt into doing things that you wouldn't normally do.
Dave, those are huge.
I got it. I totally agree. I know number one and two. I was unaware of three, of the guilt one, but I suppose that's a logical one as well. A third of us are caregivers. How did what did you do before you got into this, and how did you get into this position?
Well, 22 years ago, I became a caregiver when my beautiful wife, Charlene, suffered a massive stroke, left her severely speech impaired, paralyzed on the right side. And in that moment, I suddenly had something.
What were you doing before that?
Before that, I had a gas station. Okay, we've been married 44 years, and I still have a gas station. I've had this gas station for a long time, and that's what I do. I'm an entrepreneur. At one point, I had five of them, and I was just minding my own business, just taking care of my family. We were getting ready to go into the emptiness phase of life, you know? You ever been there? Three daughters that we raised were all grown up, got them out of the house, got them married, even had a couple of grandkids. Life was supposed to be good, but instead my wife was complaining about a headache she had for 3 days, the headache of her life. And she was joking around. She wanted me to call Dr. Kevorkian, the euthanasia doctor back in the 70s, when just to put her out of her misery. Well, by the time the fourth morning came around, it was too late. The ambulance arrived, and she had suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired, paralyzed on the right side, and our world turned upside down. Nothing would ever be the same again. In fact, the next 2 years was a living hell for both of us. That's called the grief process. You know, you go through the denial and the bargaining and the anger and the depression and then finally the acceptance. Well, that took about 2 years to get to that, and things were so bad, I didn't think I could make it. I screamed out, I can't do this anymore. Sat down, I wrote my wife a letter. I said, Charlene, why are you so mean to me? I mean, I'm only trying to take care of you 24-7, and I don't get any love or appreciation in return. I know it's hard on you, but you make it even harder on me. I just don't think I can do this anymore. And, you know, I looked at that letter, and I read it over and over again. I just did not have the heart to give it to her. So I just filed it away. And the next thing I remember is finding a business card in my pocket. It was inviting me to a caregiver support group. I didn't even know what a caregiver was, but I figured if somebody gave this to me, probably when I was in the hospital with her, they thought I needed to go. So what the heck? I got nothing to lose. I went, and everything changed for me. I met people just like me, burned out caregivers. And I found out that if I didn't take care of me, I couldn't take care of my wife. That's when I discovered, you know, the airlines telling us put your oxygen mask on first. But when I finally realized that I was able to change, I just started taking care of me so I could take care of her. And then to my amazement, she slowly started to come around. After a couple of years, she started becoming her old self again and started redecorating the house. She did a lot before she was disabled. She decided that she's going to reinvent herself, because if she's still alive, God must still have a purpose for her. So she started doing all the stuff she did before, but she had one arm and one leg, or the use of it. And so she still can't talk, but she can communicate non-verbally through Pictionary and charades, two games I hate, by the way, but I'm learning to love. And she still can't walk, but she gets around in a power chair that's a four-wheel drive, and it's very fast, much faster than me. I can't keep up with her. And so I just believe that she is like a one-arm wallpaper hanger, and like a cross between Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. She's my hero, and my claim to fame is just being known as the husband of Charlene, and I wear that badge proudly. Hope that answered your question.
It does. Thank you. Now, let me go in. And so you decided to share your stories and your experiences with the rest of us. Thank you for doing that, because we have a one of my favorite books is a book called Share the Care, which talks about exactly how to schedule and how to do this as well. But which we give, we bought a gross of them and give them to everyone we know who's family
I'd
member.
I'd love one also.
I will do that. Sure, I think I've got your, if not, I've got your cell phone, if not your address, so I will be able to send it to you, Dave. But anyway, it was written a long time ago, and it talks a lot about the specifics of scheduling people and never turning down offers, not never, but meaning organizing it so that one of your friends takes care and helps organize the rest of your friends. Talk a lot about that, because you talk to that very well, I think.
Yeah, I came up with something similar to that. I call it my CARE formula, C-A-R-E. So C is communicate with your friend. You know, don't isolate yourself. Caregivers need a life outside of caregiving. A stands for ask for help and be specific. And for goodness sake, when somebody offers for help, don't turn it down. Don't say, oh, no, I got it. Thanks a lot. Caregivers do that all the time. R stands for rest and relax. Caregivers need 8 hours rest, just like you and I, every single night. And do you know the average caregiver gets two or 3 hours a night? I can't survive on 2 or 3, can you?
Absolutely not.
And the E stands for eat healthy, nutritious food. Don't eat junk food. Junk food's got chemicals, sugar, processed ingredients. All that stuff will kill you. So that's why I wrote my book. It's My Life Too, Reclaim Your Caregiver Sanity. It's not only for caregivers, but my philosophy is if you're not a caregiver, just wait. You're going to become one or you're going to need one. There's no escaping it. Caregiving is going to touch your life. And it wasn't on my resume. I knew nothing about caregiving. I mean, they should teach you in junior high or high school, you know, right there with home economics, how to grill a grilled cheese sandwich and how to be a caregiver. So,
Well, they don't teach grilled and much in home economics anymore anyway.
Yeah, but, not anymore.
Now, you learned a bunch of profound things, and talk to us about you. You have a radio or a podcast that's very popular. Talk to us about that, and maybe even about your radio show, if you would.
Well, a lot of people wonder, well, how did you get involved in doing what you're doing now? Well, you know, after my wife started getting healthier and reached that wonderful place called acceptance, and I had a little more freedom, because she's very independent. I mean, even with one arm and one leg and no words, she's a wonderful homemaker. I mean, she cooks and she cleans and she does the laundry. She does the dishes. I come home. Dinner's on the table. Sometimes we have company. She's putting dinner parties on. So I realize that there are so many other caregivers out there who are struggling or feeling lost and alone. And you know, I didn't want them to go through the pain anymore. I didn't want them to give up like I almost gave up. You know, I made all the mistakes that a caregiver could make, and I figure I could teach people what not to do. So I became Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver. I now host a popular iTunes podcast that is on 14 different platforms. I call it Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. And I'm a best-selling author of my third book. It's My Life Too, Reclaim Your Caregiver Sanity. And during my National Book of Media Tour, I've traveled all across the country from Hawaii to Washington, D.C., speaking on morning shows and just letting people know how they can stay alive, how they can avoid their loved ones' illness and disease from actually killing them. And so I also have a syndicated show that's starting this September. I think it's the third Monday of every month. It's on the HealthyLife.net radio network. You can check that out. But I am just happy I built a website, and it's a membership website, because people who are caregivers are so reluctant to ask for help. So they needed more than just a website, a place to read. They needed a community. So I started this caregiver community, you know, on Facebook, and we have a private Facebook page and a public Facebook page. I've got this website that has all my radio shows. I've got like over 200 radio shows and video podcasts. I've got literally thousands of blog posts and articles, and I've got all this content. So I decided to put it all in one place, one-stop shopping. And my gosh, for a $47.97 membership fee that is a one-time fee for life, they can join this membership and be a member for life. And it's a great, great deal. And I'm just so happy to offer it to them. And I mean, I'm not getting rich on this. It's costing me a lot of money to run the site, costing me a lot of money to speak across the country. I'm just hoping to break even. But I have a gas station that takes care of me. So, you know, I'm not in the shoes of many people who are suffering financially, even though lost everything in the 2000 crash. But God was gracious and gave it all back.
Now, Dave, when you're traveling across the country, how do you manage caring for Charlene?
Well, if it's a fun place to go to, like we're getting ready to leave for Hawaii in 2 days, I'm speaking at 11 events over there. I was there with my wife because she loves Hawaii. We both love Hawaii. We go there all the time. And so while I was there, I figured, well, let me call up the four major networks and see if I can do a segment. And every one of them said yes, and they loved it. They even have a name over there. Kapuna means family and caregivers and just, you know, elder care. And so I met people over there, and they invited me to speak at a conference. And that's why we're going this time, is speaking at two conferences. One is aging.
You're taking her with you.
I am taking her with me because there's no way she's going to let me go without her because it's Hawaii. And then I got back from New York where I met you, and she was there in New York because we have relatives in New York. I've got relatives in Florida. But when I go to the places in the Midwest that aren't exactly exciting, and there's nothing against Des Moines, Iowa, but, you know, she doesn't want to go there, or Roanoke, Virginia. And so I go there by myself, and I have a caregiver just watch her because she is pretty independent, and she really doesn't want anybody watching her because she's, I'm okay, you know, she gestures. But still, I feel better knowing that there's somebody like spending the night with her just in case something happens or she gets up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom or she falls and she can't get up, something like that. So I do take care of her when I'm not here, and I try to minimize the time that I'm gone to, you know, one or two nights.
We've been talking with Dave Nassery, Dave Nassany, is caregiverdave.com, the caregiver's caregiver. And you've heard a bit of his story and why he decided to do this, what I would call yeoman's effort in helping caregivers be better caregivers. The iTunes podcast is called The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. It's on released Wednesdays at noon on iTunes. And there also is another show that he said coming out. And I would urge you to go to the website, caregiverdave.com, and see what it's all about. Dave, thank you very much, and thank you for doing your remarkable thing. I will email you at your email and tell you if you give me the address, I will send you Share the Care, which is another book we give out. But in any case, thanks very much for coming on. And go to the website, caregiverdave.com. Thanks again. You've been listening to Podcast 908B. We have an exciting guest coming up. We've had an exciting guest, if you will, in 907B. Tell Me What You Want, The Science of Sexual Desire and How It Can Help You. You'll want to listen to that one. And I can tell you the next one by Dr. Jan Zhu, a professor of genetics and genomics at the Icahn School of Medicine, is going to be 908B. So please do listen to that next Tuesday. If this is Tuesday, we release every Tuesday. The A segments are always the news of the week, the latest news, and what it means to you so you can live at the top of your curve till very near the end. Thanks again for listening. Ben, thanks for wonderful engineering, and thank you for downloading us. Do rate us. Do tell your friends about us. 51,000 of you can't all be wrong. Thanks again.